Hey, this is Debbie from Ghostfish Files, reminding you to tune in to Ghostfish Files every other Saturday on www.ghostfishfiles.net.tc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Oh man, I really gotta get out of here. Later.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe. Make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
So much
touch.
Oh. Hey, hey, hey,
hey,
hey,
hey. Oh.
In the house.
Oh.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
body. Oh.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night.
Hi, this is Tamara Thorne, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk with the hosts of Ghostbusting, Scott Allen Duck.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been sent by a whistling to make
Okay, we're back, and it looks like one of our co-hosts self-combusted. All I see is a couple of legs hanging off the chair.
Oh, no.
I don't know where he went. He's gone. I don't know what happened to him. Will, do you know any? Have you seen him lately, or did he fly away out the window or something?
I think he's taking care of his addiction.
What addiction is that?
Diet Pepsi.
Oh, okay. Not the heroin one this time, huh?
No.
Not that pesky little heroin habit he had? Okay. Oh, God, I am so in trouble. He comes back. No, I'm cutting that out. No, we can't have that kid out.
Go ahead. How are you going to cut that out?
Doug, oh, here he comes right now. Uh-oh. Hi, Doug.
What did I miss?
Nothing. You missed nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I always miss the good stuff.
No, we're back.
Doug's back.
And we have Sid Haig.
We have Sid Haig on the phone.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm totally stoked about you coming on our show. But we're very humble people, I guess. We're just regular guys. We do have jobs. We go to work every day, and we're just kind of blown away that you came on the show. I mean, we really appreciate it. I mean, I want to get that out. We really appreciate you coming on. It's really cool.
You guys that are doing this just because you love doing it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Not for fame and fortune and all that stuff, or mm-hmm. maybe you are doing it for
No, not at all.
But,
not really.
You're a lot more fun to talk with than, like, the network people mm-hmm. that are uptight and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When we did House of a Thousand Corpses, we had, like, the media day. We're having another year, but it was the media day.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, everybody from every television show around. We went from room to room, and they did their shtick. And this woman, I just totally blew this woman away because she was like very uptight. And she said, "Why do you think it is that people have such a fascination with horror films?"
Mm-hmm.
And without missing a beat, I said, "Because we don't hunt for our food anymore."
Ooh, yeah.
And she looked at me like I was from Mars, and she said, "What?" Well, back in the day, when you wanted some bear, you grabbed a stick and you went out into the woods and you just chopped yourself down a bear and drug it home and ate it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want some bear, you go to the supermarket and say, "Give me a pound of bear."
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, you got to have those adrenal glands working. And if there's no bears to whack in the head, then you got to do something, and so the next best thing is to go to a horror film.
Well, you know, and that's an interesting
idea.
I
think she scratched her head bald.
Okay. You know what? In her defense, you know what her thing is, and I don't blame her. I mean, for being shocked at that, because she never expected that. Was just unexpected, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, she's got a job to do too, because that's all jobs,
yeah,
right?
It's
at
all
that
money,
point,
man.
It's her job to talk to the people and then put the information into some kind of format for her.
Wait a minute, are you cutting her slack?
Just a little bit, because I've had those impossible jobs as well. Not that particular one, but I've had all kinds of impossible jobs with people who said, "You've got to go do this," and I'd be like, "I don't know what I'm going to do,"
But
the thing is, that does make total sense. You have to have that thrill. Why is Disney, all those Disney theme parks, so incredibly popular?
Mm-hmm.
Because you could fall off of a ride, you know?
Well,
people are still swimming in those beaches and stuff down in Florida, even though there have been shark attacks in the past 2 weeks.
In the last week there was three.
That's it. Three shark attacks, and there's people still out there swimming. They're like, people are saying, they've got signs, "Don't go in the water, there's sharks," and they go, "I don't care, I'm down here on my vacation, I'm going to go get eaten," or whatever.
Well, that's some serious pride you're dealing with right there. I mean, along with hard-headedness, if there's a shark in the water, this is just my opinion, and I mean, I may sound crazy, but if there's a shark swimming around the water, like, flipping me off with its fin, with a cigarette hanging out of its mouth, with tattoos on its back, it's going to stay in the water, and I'm going to stay on dry land.
Right. Where your hands go.
I have the upper hand there, obviously.
Because you can be in either. You can be in the water or on dry land.
Well, yeah, I can multitask,
But your advantage over a shark is that the shark can't come up on dry land.
Yeah.
Unless it's evolving. But
except in Jaws 4, I mean, he was waiting on the beach for...
That's true.
With a mint julep and a
there is that idea, though. I would have loved to see her face too. I would have loved to see that lady's face when you said that. But it's such an interesting point, because there is that thrill. There is that thrill, and there is that thing where people simultaneously, especially during House of a Thousand Corpses, when something would happen to somebody, let's just put it that way. I don't want to get too graphic, but there's a scene where Otis walks into a room and there's a gentleman pinned up to the wall, and they put on what's that disco song? Will, God, I forgot the name of the song now. I don't know. It's a really fun dance song. It's something you want to hear in a nightclub, and all right, and you think of good times when you hear this song.
Brick House.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's Rick James, isn't it? Is that Rick James?
That's Lionel Richie.
I'm so out of the Motown circuit. It's ridiculous. Apparently,
we live here. Rob Zombie remix is so much.
We're in the Detroit area. We don't know.
I'm so not cool. But
on the House of a Thousand Corpses CD.
Mm-hmm.
They recut it with Lionel Richie and Rob Zombie.
We've played that here and there on the show here every once in a while. Will loves that tune.
Before we went indie. Yes,
yeah.
Now we're all indie.
Yeah. But there's this scene though where they walk in and they put the music on and they're hanging out and this guy's pinned up on the wall and Otis takes his axe, and he's like, "Hey, what's up? I got an axe in my hand. All right, I'm going to mess you up. All right, cool." And he walks over there and goes, whack! And he takes and knocks takes the guy's hand right off, grabs the hand.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know, that hurts. Okay, that hurts really bad if it actually happens to you.
Don't do this at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the disclaimer for the day. Yeah. Thank you, Sid, for getting that out there.
Even to the movie houses.
Takes the guy's hand. He's laughing. He's having all kinds of fun. Apparently, the guy on the wall, he's not having very much fun, but he shows him his hand. Now, what do we do when that happens?
Cringe.
We all go, ooh. We all turn our head, do that thing with our head, like, ooh, right? And every muscle in our body tenses up, and we go, and our brain goes, that would really suck if it was me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, that happens in everyday life. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're standing there talking to your buddy and he's putting a doghouse together, okay?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he whacks his thumb with the hammer.
And
you go, ow, ooh. Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were standing 3 feet away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's real life,
okay?
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just identify with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's that thrill you're talking about, though, too.
Yeah.
That you can't normally, you can get it in everyday life, but usually it'll hurt.
Right.
Well, your thumb turns like six shades of purple and finally black.
Yeah, it's about 4 foot
diameter. Plus the fact that I never really liked the guy that much anyway.
There you go.
But there's that thrill. I mean, there's always been this chatter for years about, you know, because there you have the side. You obviously have the side of people who go, this is bad. We cannot, you know, this is bad. People should not be watching this kind of stuff. And I'm sure there's a few idiots out there. There's a few idiots that take this seriously. And it's like, no, this is fantasy entertainment.
Right.
Some people don't understand that concept. And unfortunately, they make a bad name for the whole lot of people because they can be pointed out.
Right.
But it's like, it's entertainment. It's fun. And... yeah, you do have to. I think you do have to be, a little to, you know, the right side, I guess, to enjoy a film like this. But a lot of people do, obviously. I mean, a lot of people do enjoy horror films. There is this idea, like you said. I mean, you know, we don't go out and hunt for our food anymore. It's a great way to put it, because people, we don't. We're a very watered down society now.
The most danger we get in is like driving to and from work.
Yeah, that's right. As far as Detroit goes. Yeah.
Well, Detroit is dangerous.
Well, and L.A.
L.A., God.
Well,
yeah.
Of course, in L.A., it's not really that dangerous because you're stopped most of the time. It's just a big parking lot that somehow just moves. Like
you're in more danger of a pigeon flying through your car and hitting you in the face, probably, you know?
Yeah.
We are very watered down as a society nowadays. I mean, I'm not saying we got to go out and, like, you know, play Fall Guy everywhere we go and jump off buildings and swing from ropes, but a lot of things, like, you know, we don't go out and hunt for our food no more. We go to the supermarket.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We do.
And we don't even go shopping anymore. You don't even need to go to the supermarket to get your food anymore. You can go on the internet or make a phone call
and they bring it to you
and have somebody else assume the risk, right? Because there's a risk apparently involved with this, to bring it to your house. And now all you do is just peek your little nose out and go pay the guy, put your check through the door, you know, and then you just take your food and you run back in the house and you get back on the computer.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And you interact with people on a computer.
You interact with people through the safety of your keyboard.
Yeah,
sure.
That's all fine and good. It really has watered down things a lot. And for me, it's still something that really gets me mad. It's like, okay, look, you have a problem with me. Let's just say the working force, for example. And I'm not going to come down on the corporations or anything like that, so everybody just relax. But I'm just going to say, at work, there is this thing where it's like, the boss has a problem with you. Okay, well, why don't the boss come talk to me?
They never do.
No.
They always email everyone else.
See, I had that happen once. I was doing a show called Bring 'Em Back Alive.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Boxleitner.
Mm-hmm.
Bar,
mm-hmm.
Playing Frank Buck. And one morning, the producer of the show shows up, and he starts screaming and hollering, and I'm going, what's up with this guy? And he said, I want everybody out of this makeup room by 7:30 in the morning. Okay, we're starting later and later all the time. Mm-hmm. 7:30 in the morning, everybody out of here, that's it, mm-hmm. or else. Well, they had two makeup artists and about 15 people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How the hell are you going to get out by 7:30? So I, unfortunately, or fortunately, was the last guy out. Okay?
Okay.
And it was 7:35 or something like that.
Uh-oh.
So I just walked up to the producer and I said, okay, so am I fired or what? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you said you wanted everybody out by 7:30 or else.
Mm-hmm.
So at 7:35, I just walked out the door. So what's up? And he goes, no, you don't understand. I was having a problem with one of the regular actors. It wasn't Bruce Boxleitner, but I was having a problem with so-and-so, and I just wanted to make that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so you started hollering at everybody, okay, and you pissed me off, and now I'm going to go home and holler at my wife, and my wife's going to holler at the kids, and the kid's going to kick the dog, and the dog's going to try to eat the cat, and the cat's going to try to eat the bird, all because you have a problem with this other guy?
Wow.
That doesn't work for me, pal.
No.
Now you have a problem with me.
Yeah, he or she needed to talk to
mm-hmm.
the person.
Cool. Yeah, just get real. You have a problem with somebody, go up to them and talk to them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that would... what you're saying, and I'm right, God, am I so with you on this.
I can list examples.
Just take someone aside and talk to them a little bit. You know, look them in the eye and say something to them. And it seems like you can hide behind your email, or you can hide behind your cell phone or all that stuff, whatever you're doing, and it usually don't solve the problem. The problem still is there, and look, like you just said, it's an evil chain of events. And, I mean, I've been there. I know. I'm part of it every day. I have somebody
screaming. And, even if the guy wanted to get aggressive with him and go up to him and say, you know what? You know that name at the bottom of your paycheck? That's mine.
Mm.
And I'm telling you that I want you showing up on time and ready with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Have I made myself clear?
That's all they need to do.
That's all that need to be done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the problem right there. I mean, and that's a problem with a lot of things nowadays, unfortunately. It's just that. It's, I mean, like I said, I'm part of it. Doug's part of it. Will's part of it. Obviously, you're part of it too, Sid. And
it happens everywhere.
It happens everywhere, and I know I'm not a victim. I'm one of the accomplices. If I've had a bad day and somebody just lights my wick, unfortunately, I might light up on them. And you don't think about
unjustified,
it. Unjustified.
But, yeah,
you know,
but we're all humans, so, you know.
Yeah, nobody's perfect. But, yeah, it would solve a lot of problems if people would just do that. Just go, hey, you know, Here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. Let's talk about this for a second. Let's straighten it out. As opposed to screaming at 15 people, obviously, in your situation. And getting everybody teed off. The whole crew's now on. They're all walking on eggshells now. Going, okay. And like you said, you're like, well, am I fired out 5 minutes late out
how
of the dressing
you,
room?
Yeah, how can you work under that? You know?
It's difficult to work
that
way.
It's crazy.
And that leads into a lot of, well, Doug, you had something to say there?
No, I'm good.
That leads into a lot of the ideas that even go into, like, the whole society today, more or less. I mean, we all work together. We're all one machine, it seems like, to me now. I look at things like that from a point of view, like, everything kind of works together, works back and forth. And when, that's an obvious statement, you know, when you have a bad day, somebody else is going to have a bad day because of you, too. I wonder, you know, I don't know if we were going to touch too much on this, but I know one of the things we were going to hit up on maybe was a little bit of politics with you, and I know you're outspoken on this. So,
oh, yeah.
I
just saw... Oh, go ahead with your question.
Well, I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to kind of just get... Yeah, let's just bring this up, you know? I mean, because I know we got a lot of ideas here, and we touch upon it here. We think it ties in with a lot of the stuff we do, and I'm really curious to just get the first hand from you. I mean, what are some of your ideas on what's going on? Like, well, especially with some of the current events today. I mean,
okay, here you go.
Okay.
Well, first of all, let me say that my political platform you can read on my website, www.sidhaig.com.
Mm-hmm.
And right on the front page, there's a button that says Spalding for President.
Yeah.
Go on there, and you'll get my views about exactly what's going on in this country and what has to get changed.
Can I ask you one quick thing? One
yes.
quick thing I want to ask you. And this is a rumor that's floating around. Just verify it for me. I heard that you were going to be running for president in 2000.
Well, you know what? I might.
I heard that you were going to be running for you were going to run for president in 2008. I mean,
I actually got write-in votes in 2004.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But awesome. From people reading that my platform on my front page.
So I didn't know that. I just heard the chatter about that, and I wanted to make it a point to ask you that, and so I could get a first-hand thing. So I didn't want to be part of the rumor mill. I wanted to get it from you. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Right.
What's up, though?
I'd vote him in. I'd be like, hey, we need someone up there that makes sense.
Well,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lack of logic, it seems.
Yeah.
That's the problem right there. I mean...
And here's the deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Sandra Day O'Connor just resigned from the Supreme Court, right?
Mm-hmm. She did.
Yes.
Okay. In the Daily News today in Los Angeles, they always have this little poll that they do daily. And the question was... It would the Supreme Court now abolish abortion in the United States now that she, because she was the big proponent for women's
mm-hmm.
rights,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And 82% of the people said no.
No?
Where the hell are they living? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bush has already said that he's against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
He's against stem cell research. He's against anything that will go against the moral majority,
mm-hmm.
because that's where his fan base is,
mm-hmm.
okay? And yet 82% of the people polled said that that would have no effect on the abortion issue.
And that's people who are uninformed, because what happens is she was always the swing vote. She was going to be one way or the other, and you could not predict her sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right. So with Sandra Day O'Connor up there, it made it, you know, a lot more like the people who, the justices who would, you know, be for or against something,
mm-hmm.
would have to do their papers, and they would have to really do some convincing,
mm-hmm.
you know, legally, moralistically, you know, society, and of course, everything legally, because, you know, Supreme Court is supposed to be all legal and,
mm-hmm.
you know, interpret the Constitution and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have to convince her, because she was always a swing vote.
Mm-hmm.
With her being replaced by a, you know, an extreme conservative,
mm-hmm.
right, who would always vote the way, you know, or who would always have the position the way that George Bush would think, or
mm-hmm.
the way that the, you know, the conservative parties would think,
mm-hmm.
Replace her with somebody who's going to vote fairly predictably,
mm-hmm.
and you've got yourself a predictable Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's no longer there. Here's the problem. There are no checks and balances in government anymore. Okay?
Okay.
Right.
The Constitution of the United States doesn't need interpretation. The people who framed the Constitution of the United States were much more intelligent, much more knowledgeable, much more erudite than anybody sitting on the Supreme Court or in Congress today.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be interpreted. All you have to do is read it.
Well, that's something that's always grabbed me. I mean, you hear about that every day. You know, all you have to do is turn on Court TV or one of those CNN or one of those stations that, you know, okay, I have my own opinions. We'll talk about that later. And you'll hear, well, the way we interpret this, the way we see this, this is our side of this thing. Well, it's written in black and white for you. Why do you need, you're overthinking it, my friend.
Well, that's what they do. They overthink a lot.
Yeah. And the thing that they're thinking about is how they can stay in office. This is Congress, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, even though, and who the hell ever heard of a job that you could never be fired from, but the Supreme Court, by the same token, is looking out for their political partners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have, right now, you have an extremely Republican Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who are they going to look out for? They're not going to look out for the people. They're going to look out for the Republicans. Okay?
And their interests and money.
Yeah, it's that simple.
Yeah, that's I'm sorry, go ahead, Sid.
In mystery writing, you know, the French used to say, look for the woman, okay, cherche la femme, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have a problem, you got to look for the money. Where is the money and where is it going?
Well, it seems that anything
it's going into politicians' pockets is what's happening with the money. You want to fight terrorism? Okay. make it so the wealthy have to pay the same percentage in tax as everybody else.
Right.
Okay. Because right now, the wealthy and the major corporations are the biggest terrorists that this country can face.
Well, there's no terror that I think that could be any worse than not knowing if you're going to be able to make your rent at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Because I've been there. Right. And that is true terror right there, going, am I going to have a house in a couple of weeks? Am I going to have a place to sleep at in a couple of weeks? That's a truly terrifying thought.
See, and we're all supposed to be equal under the law, but we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what the Supreme Court should start concentrating on. We are not equal under the law because the wealthy have the privilege. The wealthy can afford to pay a real hotshot tax attorney
mm-hmm.
to keep it so that he doesn't have to pay a penny in taxes, all right? And in terms of corporations, they even get refunds after they've made $3 or $4 billion in a year.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the interpretation comes from right there.
Well,
that's the interpretation.
I'm thinking justice is blind, but has an offshore bank account that you can deposit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. And they're blind, but they can hear if it's coin or paper.
Yeah, they sure know how many zeros you wrote. Yeah.
I was saying that's where the interpretation's coming from, because what motivation would you have to dig that deep and go that deep in the thought about a sentence, about something that's very clear, about an idea that was, you know, that was written down years and years ago? Why would you go that deep into it and be able to pull the strings, so to say, okay, and analyze this sentence? Like, well, you know, I mean, Clinton's the obvious example. What do you mean by is? You know,
okay. Well, and you see, that's, that was so brilliant of him to do that, because he just brought everything to a complete stop.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay? Exactly.
I mean, it was like, huh?
We all did that.
They're scratching their head.
Yeah, well, what
now,
what does
when it comes
mean?
Right down to it, when it comes right down to it,
mm-hmm.
Who's the worst guy? I mean, you know, Clinton got himself some nookie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bush involved us in a war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see...
Predicated on his fact that there were weapons of mass destruction. You know what? They never found a can of Raid in that thing. Okay?
I know.
All right? It was all because if we get Saddam Hussein out of that country, we help them establish a government based on democracy, and they're having a tough time with their constitution, well, we should just give them ours because we're not using it.
I agree.
Yeah.
Ours hasn't been used in decades.
So if we do that for them, they will look favorably upon us when it comes time to set the prices on oil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And that's the key right
that's
there.
That's the deal.
Yeah.
It always comes back to that, because oil equals money nowadays.
Lots
that's
of money.
Right.
Oh,
that's right.
Hundreds of billions.
And we've all said that many times on this show, is in regards to this war, that it there's all these huge ideas.
I hate it. I absolutely despise it, because I would love to think, I would love to think like 99% of the people are what they're told, and they're told, no, this is for freedom, this is democracy, this is, you know, everything we believe in, blah, blah, blah. But I keep seeing that oil slick, you know, I'm like, no, it's...
Yeah, what it's all about is pictures of dead presidents, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And that's really, it's the unfortunate thing of that, but that is the truth. It really, it's... I don't know if it can be any more clear nowadays. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody I talk to is like, dude, he's a BSer. There was no weapons of mass destruction. Everybody I talk to. And I mean, I talk to tons of people every week, and it's all the same opinion.
But we're told to think it's for the people of Iraq.
And this is before the election. This was before the election last year, and it's still,
now,
he's still president.
Is this something new? Did this not happen in Iran?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, didn't it happen in Syria?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it happen in Saudi Arabia? Didn't it happen in every country that's got more than 4 ounces of oil in the ground? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it is. If people don't learn from history, we just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. It's totally ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do, and this is the deal, okay,
mm-hmm.
we have to very forcibly make Congress and the president, whoever it happens to be at the time, and the Supreme Court, we have to reinforce the fact that we are the employers. They work for us. We don't work for them. We are being put under a situation where government tells us what we can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to your boss and say, excuse me, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what you're going to do?
I'd like to.
The other way around, though.
No.
Yeah.
This is the only situation in which over 200 million employers become total wusses and let the employees run the show.
Mm-hmm. That's what's
happening.
That's
stupid. Mm. That is totally stupid. And what are they going to do? The only real ammunition the government has is to hold the IRS over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are afraid of. Oh, my God, they're going to dip into my books. Well, you know what? The government taught people how to cheat on their taxes.
Yeah, they did.
Okay? So, and what are they going to do? They're going to put 200 million people in jail? I don't think so.
Well, the thing is, I actually did some write up on this, and somebody was talking about, like, you know, what do you do for a job besides doing ghostly talk? I'm like, well, okay, here we go. And I don't know why I got into this thing, but I'm like, you know, it seems like every day we're bombarded with buy this, buy that, buy this stuff. If you buy this, you'll be cool. If you buy that, you'll be cool. You need a huge house. You need this gigantic house, even though you live by yourself and you have no children. You need this giant SUV, even though you have nothing to put in it. You need this huge boat, even though you don't even know how to fish. You need all these things, right? And this is a weapon, too, I think, because what that does is it puts you in this thing we call debt. Because nobody can afford, some people can, not anybody in my neighborhood, but I don't know anybody can afford a $400,000 or $500,000 house, $500,000 house. So you obviously take a loan out. And
you
now,
know that a $500,000 house in the state of California is below the mean?
Well, yeah, I'm coming from a Michigan standpoint, too. Yeah, I know California property is ridiculous out there.
Yeah.
And how can you afford that kind of thing?
Well, yeah.
It's stupid.
Well,
here's the deal. Here's how it happens. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're really. Oh shit! I'm getting in trouble now. That's okay.
That's
all right. I got a big boot.
You can
bring your ass over here. I'll put it in. Okay. Now the deal is that the developers, the land developers, the guys that develop these tracts of homes,
mm-hmm.
okay, where that start at $800,000.
Yeah.
You go in and you see the model and you go, oh my God, I have to have this house. And they've got the salesman there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, initially, the developer is carrying the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And he sits you down and says, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I understand you want the house. Now, we don't want to break you. What do you think would be a sensible down payment for you? What do you think you can afford without, you know, making blood come out of your eyes?
About $5.
And, $52.43.
And they said, well, you know, we can probably do $25,000. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. We can do that.
Okay.
Now, without causing a big strain on yourself, how much do you think you can make in monthly payments?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with my wife and myself working, let me see, we could probably do $2,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. Let's write it up that way for, the first 5 years. And then at the end of that time, we'll revisit the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And everybody's happy, and they move in, and 5 years comes around, okay? And now it's, well, you know, you really fell short on this whole deal, and there's this balloon this and this trigger here. And now, if you can't come up with $6,500 a month with a balloon payment at the end of your loan of $250,000, geez, I don't know how you're going to keep this house.
No.
By now, they've sold the paper to the bank, and
yep.
you know the bank is going to come down on you because they sell that house 50 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so there you go. We live in a society that has nothing to back up the dollar. Once we got away from the gold standard, we were screwed.
Because mm-hmm.
all we have now is a piece of paper with some numbers on it.
And that's basically, we trust that this has some value. That's what we're doing.
We think this might have
value. Here, you see this rock? This rock is worth $1 million.
Yeah.
Take this and you can buy a big home with it. Oh, cool! I got a rock!
That's what you're believing in.
What you're believing in!
Yeah. That's whatever they tell you to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
Because you want it. And you know why you want it? It's a thing called environmental hypnosis. Okay?
Said you're gonna set me on fire here. You know that.
I'm gonna
self-combust right here.
Because you sit at home with your beer balanced on your belly and your bag of chips by your side, and you sit there watching television,
mm-hmm.
and every 5 to 6 minutes, somebody comes on and tells you to buy this coffee pot,
mm-hmm.
okay? And this happens all week long, every week. And one day you're at the store, and you see this coffee pot, and you say, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about this coffee pot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll buy this coffee pot. Now, they just set you up.
Yep.
They set you up like crazy, and it's environmental hypnosis, because first of all, you're half dozed off watching television anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your mind is working at real low brain cycles, and so you're taking this information in, and you're going, yeah, cool, I'll go buy that, and I'll go buy this. Boy, we're going to have a good time now. And there you go.
And you don't even consider the fact that you haven't had coffee in, you know, 5 years.
Yeah. I don't even like coffee, but this pot is so cool, I'm going to buy it.
It looks great on my countertop.
Yeah.
It looks great with my toaster that I haven't used in 10 years. And it looks great with my cappuccino maker that Starbucks told me to buy.
There's another deal. What a con job that is, Starbucks.
Oh, God.
Sid,
that is the worst coffee I've ever put in my body.
Sid, me and you need to sit down with a cup of regular gas station sludge and talk that over, because I have a serious, oh boy, we're going to get in so much trouble for this, I don't care. I have a serious problem with, it happened the other day. I went to band practice, and one of the guys in my band was standing there with his cup, you know, the cup, the trademark cup, you know, you have to have the cup to be cool. And I'm like, what do you have there? Is that a cup of coffee? I had like my dented, beat up, grease stained, you know, coffee traveler mug filled with the sludge that I make at home, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you have there? He's like, oh, well, I have Starbucks. I'm like, okay, and what's in the cup? Well, it's a Frappalapa Mocha Venti Chino.
Yeah, what the hell is that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like,
weird ass thing.
I'm like, what the hell is that? He's like, well, it's good. It's good. It tastes good. I'm like, okay. Well, what'd you pay for it? $4.50.
I know. That's
yeah.
2 pounds of
I know.
Coffee.
It's a liquid.
I'll tell you, I was at the Park Plaza. It was a very exclusive hotel in Sacramento, right across from the Capitol building. I was doing a convention there, and they put us up in this place.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the dining room for breakfast, and it really a plush place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I ordered my breakfast, and she brought the coffee. And I took one sip, and I almost spit it out on the table. And when she came by the next time, I said, you know, this coffee is terrible. And she said, well, I don't know why. We use Starbucks.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay? And I'm going, well, there's the problem.
Yeah.
It tastes actually like it's burnt. They buy these cheap-ass beans, and then they roast them to death, okay, probably to get rid of the bugs. And every time you taste it, it tastes burnt.
And in the marketing plan, I've been watching this too, as far as Starbucks goes, and I'm waiting for their lawyer to call us, but whatever, no problem. What percent of nothing do you want to take?
Yeah.
Bring it on, okay? I've seen their advertising too, and I've been watching this really closely, and they literally advertise, and they're basically starting up a whole like nation of junkies, in my opinion, because I'm watching what these people are doing, and it's like, when you don't have time to sleep, Starbucks. I've seen ads like this, it's set up like that. I mean, you got to read between the lines, but it's like, you know, when you're on the go and you don't have time to, like, go to bed, Starbucks. And the
now,
cup pops out.
Where are they from? Where they originate? The Northwest, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where you get, like, if you're lucky, 60 days of sunshine a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the suicide rate was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, since they infected everybody with their cheap-ass coffee, the suicide rate has gone down because the caffeine in coffee kind of prevents you from feeling those depressed feelings that send you off someplace.
Because you're always up and high and
whatever.
And that's a really
wired,
tough call on that. Cause it's like, well, I don't want to see people killing themselves, but at what cost?
right.
I'm stoned all the time.
It costs $4.50 a cup.
Yeah, $4.50 a pop to stay stoned all day long, and it tastes like it's my opinion, it's your opinion. It tastes like crack. I've had it before.
It's the worst.
It's
now
horrendous.
You want really good coffee? You want really good coffee? The Coffee Shop of Horrors makes Spider Baby Blend. Okay.
Spider Baby Blend.
It's the best. There's my commercial for the day. Okay.
Well, no, I'll go to the gas station, even though I don't like doing that either. I'll go there any day over the Starbucks because, A, it's cheaper. and I'm poor. Yeah. And B, I just refuse to go there. I have a whole handful of friends, and like, every time I see them, they have the cup in their hand.
Yeah.
And they're wielding it like the sword of Excalibur. It's like, it's their cup. It's their hammer. This tells people that I'm with it, and I'm cool, and I'm awake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're definitely awake. Now, in defense, okay, mm-hmm. I give garbage and then I give bouquets.
Okay.
The bouquet is that the only thing that I will really drink from there is their iced chai.
Okay.
That's excellent.
The iced chai?
Everything else, throw it in the trash.
I just buy the cylinders of the powdered stuff for 50 cents a ton for that stuff, and I usually get by on that. I drink myself also. I will not go into one of those places. These guys know that too. I've actually written hate editorial one hate editorial about that criminal organization.
Scott L. does not he also does not watch television.
I've given it up.
Yeah.
I have to get I have to get my Animal Planet fix every once in a while though.
Right. Animal Planet.
But I turn the commercials off. I run away as fast as I can, and I go hide in the bathroom, and then I hear crikey, oh, and he comes back on, and I'm out there like, okay, go Steve, and no, but
and how cool is this? They bought their competition.
No, I didn't know that. What happened there?
Coffee Bean.
Mm-hmm.
They bought them?
Coffee Bean stores? Yeah, they bought them.
The Coffee Beanery. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They were around for years, too.
They're not anymore.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're still there, but they're owned by Starbucks.
Well, they're popping up everywhere. It's like bad dandelions, man. I'm seeing them, and it scares the crap out of me.
Who was it?
It's like McDonald's. You know, the place that gave McDonald's its comeuppance, it was so cool, was Italy. When they put McDonald's restaurants into Italy...
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. The Italians, because that's eating is family time,
mm-hmm.
right?
So the Italians would take their food from home and go sit at the McDonald's tables outside and have their dinner.
It's a great picnic place. Yeah.
I don't know if you have the answer to this, Sid, but why?
I'd rather sit like at home.
I
think it was just to piss them off. Okay.
Good.
But the thing, and now here is another deal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed the atrocious behavior of young people in restaurants these days?
Absolutely, and it makes me sick.
Restaurants,
and
theaters.
You know what started it? Those playgrounds outside of McDonald's and Carl's Jr.'s and all the rest of those places. The kids, the little kids, started associating going out to eat with playgrounds and playtime. So they get into a nice restaurant and they're running all over the damn place and screaming and hollering and everything else because they do it at McDonald's, they do it at Carl's, they do it at Burger King.
I never even thought about it that way.
The brand new Hardee's has this huge... I mean, the front of Hardee's is... We haven't had Hardee's here in the Detroit area for mm-hmm. a long time now because they were bought up by Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
But they just put a Hardee's in at like Mound and 15.
By Dave Thomas, a Mason.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to throw it out
and
there.
So what happens is the, I'd say, 80% of the store is a playground.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like red and blue and yellow and white and there's all these different...
Tubes to crawl through and stuff to climb up on. Yeah.
I'm gonna put on a little one piece outfit and just like go into a Hardee's or a McDonald's and just dive in those balls myself.
Yes,
just to scare the crap out of the kids because they'll go running. They'll see this big hairy guy with long hair, in a beer belly. He's just gonna dive. I mean, I'm not talking I'm running full speed. Like I'll go through the side of the thing and break all the bottles and they'll go. I mean the little balls and they'll go all over the floor and then all the people will be falling and stuff. It'll be mayhem. It'll be hilarious. I love it. I'm going to try that.
Sid,
I'm going to tape it, too, and I'll send you the tape. You're going to crack
there
up.
There you
and
go.
See
please,
this,
please, please, please.
But it's obvious. I mean, I never thought about it that way, but, I mean, children are very impressionable.
Yeah.
It's at such a young age.
And they learn this
They stuff. Learn this stuff. And, God, yeah, you go to restaurants now, theaters, places,
sure.
Libraries. I've been to libraries when I was in college. Yes, I did go to college. When I was in college, I understand that sometimes people can't get a babysitter. That's fine. That's cool. But when you raise your voice a little bit, the kid should, you know, quiet down. And I've actually heard, I've heard kids, I mean, more than one occasion.
The people won't raise their voice, okay? And you know why? Because mom and dad spend so little time with the kids during the week
mm-hmm.
that they don't want to spend any part of it hollering at them or making them behave,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And therein lies the problem.
And
let's get down to a flat tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Charge everybody 5%. Do you know the math has already been done in this?
Mm-hmm.
If you charged everybody, every person, every corporation, every non-profit corporation, which means now we get rid of non-profit corporations,
mm-hmm.
every person, every entity that takes in money, if you charge them 5%, in 10 years' time, we would have a zero balance on our deficit. We wouldn't have a deficit, okay? We would owe no money. The $7.6 trillion that we owe right now, wiped out. Now, that would afford one of the parents to stay home with the kid.
Well, that's what a lot of the problem is.
Then the kid might
You know, we have kids like we have pets. You know,
right.
Oh, it's so cool to have a kid. Okay, let's go
not
have
in
a
my
kid,
house.
And then we have somebody else take care of it.
But it's become where, you know, the parents can't. It's come full circle back around because you're in this house that you can't afford because you were tricked into buying it. So you've got to work two jobs and be home, you know, like 3 hours a day just to catch a cat nap. And both the mom and the dad are on different schedules. They never see each other, and they rarely see the kids.
Mm.
And because they've got to do that in order to pay for this house.
Oh, yeah.
They know this balloon thing's coming up, and they don't know what it means to them. So they got to save something, and they can't.
Well,
it's physically impossible.
And I'll tell you from firsthand. I guess I was a lucky kid.
And the kids never learn to respect their
yeah.
parents. I know, I did. I learned to respect my parents.
Yeah, and yeah. you were in the same situation. We both, Doug and myself here, we both came from a household where the father was the breadwinner.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we got to go back to the 20s and do, you know, I'm just saying, like, when I did something stupid, I'll be very frank here. When I did something stupid, my dad beat my ass when
yep.
I did something stupid.
Me too.
And I'm not making, he's not a bad father. My dad, if you guys have heard about my dad on this show more than once, I mean, you know.
You also have to learn respect.
And that's what I did.
I learned it the hard way,
because you're dumb kids and kids don't think usually, and that's cool.
But
you don't
learn respect when nothing is your fault.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, it's
now,
not
now
your
the thing
fault,
is you can either give respect because it's due, or you can give respect out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in a neighborhood where my next door neighbor was a single mom,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason some of the kids in the neighborhood. Enjoyed teasing her and stuff and just kind of making life miserable for her.
Mm.
And so I grabbed a couple of them and I said, you know what? That's not acceptable to me. I don't like to see you guys making fun of this woman. She's trying to, you know, hold her stuff together and she doesn't need you guys fooling around. Now knock it off or I'm going to kick your ass.
Right.
And the kid looks at me and says, you can't touch me. I'm not 18. And I said, see how stupid you are? The law says it's against the law for me to touch you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now, I have never spent a day in jail in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute tops, I'll get 90 days, which is going to be about the amount of time you're going to spend in the hospital. Okay. And his eyes got wide, and I said, I'm serious. Okay, I will kick your ass. If your father has a problem with that, tell him to come on by and I'll kick his too.
You know, we're not, I mean, obviously, none of us here, we're all pretty non-aggro, you know, but I know what I grew up in, and I, today, myself, I go to my parents' house once, twice a week. That's the best I can do right now. But I go there because I want to. I don't go there out of necessity. I go there because I want to spend time with my parents because I have a lot
of
respect for them.
That's the thing. It went from. Respect from fear, you know, ooh, you're going to get the paddle,
yeah.
or you're going to get the switch, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it went from that, which is what, that was a tool
yeah.
that they had available
mm-hmm.
to teach us respect, to now I really, truly respect that.
Well, that's a result of a long-term thinker right there.
They did a really good
yeah.
job.
I know my dad didn't want to do that to me,
yeah,
but he knew down the road it would help me.
Right.
It would straighten me out.
Exactly.
And now, I'm, you know, old man Scott L., old man Doug, we go to our, you know,
how you doing, Mom and Dad?
We go in there, and you know, we're like, hi, I love you. It's really great to be here and hang out with you guys. And I can have a conversation. We can talk about life, talk about what I'm doing. And it's like I'm with a couple of friends, like my best friends. I mean, I'm like getting all mushy. but no, that's what
I grew up. I grew up in a time where anybody that was an adult could tell you what the hell to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
If they saw you fooling around and causing problems and doing all kinds of weird shit, they could just say, you know what, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And you did.
And you had to. Yeah.
And you just did. Okay. Because you realized that you were being a jerk, and you know you really should have been doing whatever it was that you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a funny story connected with this. Okay. I have a 2.5-year-old grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know if you look up the word precocious in the dictionary, you'll see his picture. You'll know exactly.
Oh
what he looks
man.
Like. He was doing something his dad didn't want him to do, and his dad, you know, said, no, just stop it, and then he explained, and when he did stop, he explained why that wasn't a cool thing to do. And halfway through his explanation, my grandson holds up his hand and says, okay, I got it, calm down.
Okay, I got it, calm down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, now... Did you inform him that he better not say anything like that around his grandfather? Because that'd be the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But, okay, the kid got his comeuppance, okay, so he won't do that again.
He's
a smart kid. My son is a smart kid because
good.
he never was allowed to do anything like that. Okay, so he caught it, nipped it in the bud. Everything is fine, but that's just an example of what's happening today. There's no respect for anything, and nobody wants to take responsibility for their actions.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody is innocent of everything now.
Yes.
It's not your fault, it's society's fault, or your parents' fault, or everybody else's fault.
And you go to the store, and you buy something, and you take it home, and you get it out of the box, and it's a piece of junk, and it doesn't work, and you take it back to the store, and now they make it your problem. Well, did you do this? Did you do that? You must have done... Whatever happened to the customer is always right.
Right.
It's the customer is always wrong, okay? We don't want to take responsibility for faulty workmanship, okay? Just put the thing. Here's another deal. How about NAFTA? Okay.
How about the fact
that we opened up the border?
They're extending that now to South America.
They're extending it.
It's going to now be. There's a South American version of NAFTA now.
Yeah.
They're working on.
Yeah. That's real good. Why don't we just turn over everything to other countries?
Right.
Okay?
All our jobs.
And we'll just sit here and collect some kind of welfare from them.
That's what we'll have to do.
Yeah.
Because they're going to move everything down to South America now. They're working on, they're signing agreements and stuff with, like, Brazil and all those countries in South America. Because, you know, NAFTA worked so well, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and here again is a deal where large corporations negotiated this deal, okay, through Congress, through the president's office, okay, they negotiated the deal. They got all the perks, okay? They got all the perks. And when the thing went through, when it passed, they all jumped over the border and started manufacturing stuff in Mexico and you know, whatever. The thing that was so heartening to me was there was in Simi Valley, which is where I live, there was a company that made hospital equipment. And as soon as NAFTA was passed, they jumped right over the border and set up their plant and started making stuff, okay?
Right.
And everything they made came back because it all fell apart.
Right. There was
and
no.
That did my heart so much good.
There's no incentive if you're working for a foreign company to do a really wonderful job because that's what they're doing down there. They're working for an American company or a Canadian company, and so what are they going to do? I mean, my boss is in Tucson, Arizona. What can he do? You know, so they have no incentive. You know what we've got,
I know a guy that was making gardening stuff. Okay, the guy was selling hoes.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I know, and a lot of people would do that, but it's a completely different market. Yeah,
and as soon as NAFTA went through, was passed, he went down there and they screwed up the pot. How can you screw up a hose?
Okay?
I mean, Jesus Christ. And the guy went broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just went broke.
Because the thing falls apart, you take it back to the store, the sale is voided, and you didn't make money. You thought you did, but then you didn't.
Right.
We have just very few minutes left now, Sid. And I have to say, Scott L. had to take off. He had a little emergency he went to go deal with, so he took off. But we only have very few minutes, and he apologizes and says, he is honored to have gotten to speak with you. We've got 5 minutes left, and I want to talk about your upcoming projects.
Okay.
What kinds of upcoming projects do you have? I know that you want to go around the country and do some seminars.
Yes.
That's coming.
The Mental Bank Seminar?
Oh, yes, the Mental Bank Seminars.
Yes, and it's all based on the idea that success is not an accident. Okay?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you, right now, sitting in the studio, mm-hmm. are completely successful because you planned to be where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all done through your subconscious mind.
Okay.
Your mental script has been written for you.
Right. I didn't know that I would be doing this. I thought it would be interesting and fun, and I said, yay. But I didn't know that it would take me to where I am now. But subconsciously, I imagine I did things, like what you're saying. I think subconsciously, I did things to promote where I am now,
mm-hmm.
without even knowing it.
I
wanted it, and so I probably, spent that extra hour, talked to somebody, who I wouldn't have talked to before,
exactly.
about, can you distribute the show, or whatever. I've done these things that I probably wouldn't have done had I not been interested in its success.
Yeah.
So I see what you're coming from.
What you concentrate on is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you concentrate on the idea that when my ship comes in, I'll be at the airport. Okay, that kind of thing.
that's negative thinking.
That's what you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's exactly what you'll get. And I see people doing that to themselves day in and day out, and it's so painful to watch because they can have whatever it is that they want to have. And once they get it, if they don't like it, they can have something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You can rewrite that mental, that subconscious life script that you've got for yourself. You can rewrite it. You can make it be anything you want it to be. I'll tell you, just in terms of financial success.
Right.
Okay. Before I started doing this, was pretty much at poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From project
in one
to project.
Year, in 1 year's time, I quadrupled my income.
Ooh.
Okay? And I will double that next year. Well, this year. Okay? Within the next 5 months, 6 months. 5 months. I forgot what month I was
in. It became July all of a sudden, yes.
Yes, it certainly did. And I'm much more successful in other things that I want to do because I'm open to that. I've planned for it. Subconsciously, I've planned for it. I've rewritten my subconscious script, okay? And that's what I want to teach people how to do.
Amazing. And you're going to do a seminar format, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
I'll tell you what. It takes the seminar itself, setting the whole thing up, teaching you what it is that you have to know and what it is that you have to do is 4 hours. Now you have to make a contract with yourself for a period of 1 year to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just like anything. If you work the program will work.
Right.
Where people have failure is when they stop using the program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
That's like my diets. I'm so bad at that. Yes, but I mean, I want to. I just never. I always make excuses, but that's my own fault. But I know that.
Yeah. Right.
But but yeah, results. I'm behind it. When do you think you'll be in Detroit?
Geez, I don't know.
We're in because oh man, I would love that. But
yeah.
I'll tell you, I would love to see the seminar. But I, you know, heck, air flights are cheap. I suppose anywhere. So we'll just watch your website, right? Sidhague.com?
Yeah. Right.
That's what we'll do. I have to say though, we're at the end of the show. So I'll tell
oh
you
my
what.
God.
I'll tell you what. Can you right? We're. Yep, this is the end of the show. So I have to say thank you so much for being on. I want you to hang on the line, though.
Okay.
Because I want to ask you a question right afterwards. So let me close
sure.
up the show, and then I will get with you briefly, okay?
Okay.
So thank you so much, Sid Haig of SidHaig.com. Devil's Rejects is coming out July 22nd. Be sure to go see that. Go, if you haven't already done it, go and purchase... Well,
House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yes, thank you. House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm bad at that memory stuff. So thank you so much, Sid Haig. I'll be with you in just 1 second. This has been Ghostly Talk. I have to say thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This was a particularly exciting show because of our special guest, Sid Haig, actor and just incredible dynamo. If you go to imdb.org and just type in Sid Haig, you'll see. Oh, my gosh. Just incredible. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Come back next week from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will have, is it Adam West? Or Adam
John
West.
Anthony West.
John Anthony West. No, I'm thinking of Batman. John Anthony West on the show about the pyramids, about Egyptology, about the Sphinx, specifically the Sphinx. So we will be talking with him about that. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Ghostly Talk. Only the corrupt are listened to loudly.
I need to go someplace where I can think.
We demand fair and more accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Each and every one of you to decide whether you are going to be the problem or whether you are going to be the solution.
Don't hate the media. Become the media.